Ryan and JB braced themselves and swung open the door. Both fought back a gasp of surprise.
Dark night. It's payday.
Ryan wholeheartedly agreed. Stepping out the door, the men could see the gateway was situated inside some sort of huge warehouse, with curved walls and a sharply arched roof, as if a tin can had been cut in two and placed sideways on the ground.
This is a Quonset hut.
Ryan studied the distant windows. The glass, or plexiglass, was frosted white, so there was no way to see outside. The warehouse could be in the middle of a Deathlands desert, underwater, or on the moon. There was no way of telling. But much more importantly, the entire interior of the structure was jammed to the rafters with military supplies. Neat rows of shelving filled with med kits, MRE cartons, satchel charges, and endless cardboard boxes of ammo. Huge mounds of crates were stacked along the sloping walls, hundreds of drums of condensed fuel piled conveniently near a small door, and pallets full of tents, bedrolls, and huge rolls of concertina wire were everywhere, along with tightly coiled belts of 25mm shells for APC cannons, 50 caliber bullets for heavy machine guns, long crates full of AK-47 and M60 blasters, and backpacks for carrying LAW rocket launchers. The men had never seen such an incredible collection of weapons like this since the deadly Alaska Redoubt.
Let's get busy.
JB shouldered his Uzi and started down the main aisle. A forklift was parked in the near distance, obviously used to move the heavier pallets, and it was perfect for their needs. Then a movement at the extreme end of the aisle caught their attention, and both men ducked out of sight, but it was too late.
Hey, who the fuck are you guys?
A distant sec man called out, dropped a clipboard, and clawed for the blaster on his hip. In one smooth motion, Ryan stood, drew the Sig Sauer, and fired. The silenced automatic coughed once, the 9mm round slamming the sec man backward. He fell sprawling onto an open trunk full of 125mm AP shells for the main cannon of an Abrams M1 tank.
Fire blast, a blue! This must be the Quonset hut I saw in the middle of their base!
JB released the pistol grip safety of his Uzi.
Then we better haul ass. The sooner we're gone, the better.
Rushing to a nearby stack, Ryan grabbed a box and used it to prop open the gateway door. Nimbly, JB climbed over some coils of electrical cable and into the forklift. The engine started with a purr, and he maneuvered the vehicle to an empty wooden pallet.
I'll drive. You pile on the goods.
He glanced at his wrist chron.
We've got 17 more minutes.
Working fast, the companion started down the main aisle, Ryan slamming entire boxes of Kalashnikovs and ammo boxes onto the pallet. A crate of mixed grens was added, and as they turned a corner, Ryan grabbed a field surgery med kit and a bag of mixed detonators and timing pencils. Next, he added two satchel charges of C4, then tossed another to JB, who made the catch and slung it over an arm. Most of the material had no descriptions or invoice listings as to the contents, but that didn't matter. One of the first things Ryan learned was how to read military code numbers. Often he didn't even have to read the entire sequence before he knew it was something useful, like food or ammo, or pre-dark crap, like paperclips or uniform rank insignia. JB pointed to the left.
Grab that! And we need that, too!
Lifting a combo pack of LAW half-LAW rockets, Ryan dropped the missiles and drew his blaster in a smooth, lightning-fast move to fire twice more into the shadows. A sec man fell into the light, with most of his face removed.
8 minutes!
JB grabbed a brand new can opener off a nearby shelf. There were flashlights on a higher shelf, but they were out of reach without a lot of cumbersome climbing.
We stay 4 minutes more, then we leave.
Gotcha.
Pausing at a door, Ryan noted there was a glowing plate set into the wall nearby, exactly like in the more secure rooms of a redoubt. He wasted seconds debating over a quick wreck outside, then finally decided against it and moved onward, grabbing a flare gun and box of flares, then a box marked miscellaneous socks. If time had been on their side, the companions would have looted the warehouse down to the floorboards. Silas had to have been compiling these supplies for decades.
Time!
JB wheeled the heavily laden forklift toward the gateway. Ryan grabbed small items off the shelves as he approached the gateway, and the two men were almost there when the small door at the end of the aisle hissed aside and in stormed a squad of blues led by Sheffield.
God, yeah, it's Ryan! Kill them!
Ram the door!
Ryan ducked behind a crate of MRE packs and cut loose with the Kalashnikov, sending the blue shirts scurrying for cover. Instantly, he realized he was at a major advantage. The Blues only had wall behind them, so Ryan could shoot with total immunity. But he and JB were surrounded by ordnance and fuel. If the Blues hit the wrong thing, the entire Quonset hut would vanish in a megaton fireball explosion of cordite and plas. Comprehending what the big man meant, JB floored the accelerator and slammed the forklift directly into the open doorway of the gateway. In wild, tumbling chaos, most of the boxes and crates flew off the pallet and into the Mattrans chamber. His chest aching from hitting the steering wheel, JB turned in the seat and added the fury of his Uzi submachine gun to the retreat, giving Ryan protective cover as the man darted from box to crate, then behind the forklift, and literally dived into the gateway. Incoming bullets flying all around them, Ryan took over shooting at the Blues, emptying the clip in seconds, while JB frantically threw supplies into the chamber. Then the friends shifted jobs again, Ryan moving the supplies while JB discharged the S&W shotgun. The distance was too great to make the scattergun effective against the Blues, but the rain of double-aught steel pellets forced them back into hiding. Grabbing a sack of Grens, Ryan held one out to JB so the armorer could see the safety pin was firmly in place. JB nodded, and the two began throwing the deadly bombs wildly into the warehouse. Shouting warnings, Sheffield and the Secman scrambled to reach the exit. Tossing the half-filled bag into the chamber, Ryan and JB each grabbed one more item from the stack of supplies still on the forklift, then slammed shut the door to the gateway. With pounding hearts, the two men waited for the swirling mists to engulf them, or for the chamber door to swing open again, and for them to be brutally cut down by a hail of bullets from the hated Blues. Reaching a rill in the forest, the LAV-25 of Beta Team drove along the woodsy embankment until spying the sprawling ruins of a pre-dark city in the river valley below. To their right was a large flat expanse that sloped inward to a small lake of fused glass.
Mini-nuke.
Kemble looked at the dashboard of the APC. Set off prominently by itself was a rad counter, but the red light bulb wasn't flashing, and no ticks came from the tiny speaker.
Clean.
If that's working.
Hey! Bill!
The driver killed the LAV's engines, and the sergeant quickly climbed into the turret with the binocs. This was their last chance at finding a dish. However, a nice ville for Sheffield to move them to would do a lot toward appeasing his anger. Campbell adjusted the focus until the walls of the ville came in sharp. The ville was situated right in the middle of the ruins, and from that angle the sergeant could see how certain streets had been blocked with rubble, forming a maze around the ville. Unless they knew it was there, Coldhearts would simply drive right past the place. Its walls were the usual mix of whatever was handy, but good and thick, rising twice the height of a man. Inside were rows of houses and huts, all heavily repaired but looking rainproof. Armed secmen walked the walls, with watchtowers set inside the ville to give support fire in case of a successful breach. Damn, this pesto was well designed. But aside from the defenses, the ville was like any other. Civilians walking about talking and doing things, while some wretch hung from a gallows noose, with birds eating his skin. Near a tavern, a couple of bald Secmen were having a fistfight in the mud, while an old man across the street was boiling laundry in a bathtub. A crude still was cooking shine over by the barracks, and Campbell guessed the building held a couple of dozen Secmen, but that was it. A young, busty female butcher was gutting a hog tied upside down to the limb of a tree. Some sluts were hanging their breasts out the windows of a gaudy house, trolling for customers. Nice. The ville looked perfectly normal, except for a fenced enclosure that was filled with rows of long huts, whose roofs had been removed and replaced with hundreds of tiny panes of glass. Inside the glass houses were growing plants, a couple of Secmen standing guard, while workers pulled weeds and tilled the dark soil.
50, maybe 60 men. Got 3 wags, one up on blocks getting repaired. Secmen got long blasters, but bolt actions, no rapid fires. Civilians carrying homemades. No slave quarters that I can see. Don't like it. Too peaceful.
A private blew his nose on his hand and wiped it off on his shirt.
You want us to do a wreck? Couple of us could walk to the gate, say we're traitors. Give us a handful of ammo. We'll buy some food, lose at dice, talk to the sluts.
You've done this before. Coldheart?
The man shrugged in a noncommittal manner.
Raided a few vills out west, if that's what you mean. But I work for Sheffield now. Long as he's got blasters and ammo, I stay loyal.
Which means you keep sucking air. So watch your mouth about the...